The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM stereo.
This is Inside Sports.
Tashi Mamla, the first South African to get 300 in a test match. Your country salutes you.
Inside the News.
It's a really good goal. It's Shabalala.
Inside the Updates.
See you, Khaleesi. And South Africa.
Sport.
Assalamu alaikum and a very good evening. You're listening to Inside Sport, exclusive to the Voice of the Cape, where we cover all the latest news and chat to past and present sports stars as well. Just gone 2 minutes past eight. I'm your host, Feroz Sheikh. My tech tonight is Nazim Peterson. We're talking football tonight, and my guest is the former Santos goalkeeper, Andre Bronkhorst. But before I chat to Andre, let's catch up with the latest news coming through from today. There were four games in the Premier League today. Well, one is in progress, Liverpool and Manchester City. 73 minutes into that match, it's still a 1-1 there. There's one later game as well. Arsenal take on Aston Villa at a 9:15 name. The match is a 9:15, and the match is completed so far. Tottenham Hotspur scoring a late goal there to beat West Brom 1-0. Leicester beating Wolves 1-0 as well. Orlando Pirates, of course, beat Kaizer Chiefs 2-0 in the MTN 8 second leg semi-final to go through 5-0 on aggregate. They'll now play Bloom Celtic in that final. The Delhi Capitals just beat the Sunrise Hyderabad a couple of minutes ago. That's the IPL qualifier. They're chasing 190 to win. Sunrisers made a good fight of it in the end. They made 172 for 8. Kagiso Rabada amongst the wickets again, taking 4 for 29. So Delhi will now play Mumbai in Tuesday's final. Now Pakistan beat Zimbabwe by 8 wickets in the second T20 international in Rawalpindi to win that 3-match series with a game to spare. And Brad Binder finished 7th in today's Europe Grand Prix in Spain. Of course, that is MotoGP. That race was won by Spain's Joan Mir. Time now to say a very good evening to Andre Bronkhorst. Thanks for joining me tonight on Voice of the Cape.
Thanks for those, and thanks for having me, and hello to the listeners.
Well, you can also join the conversation as well. You can call 021-442-3530 or WhatsApp 072-238-0712 for any comments. Just a reminder, from tomorrow, we have a brand new WhatsApp number, very easy to remember, 0829-913-913. That is from tomorrow. So, Andre, let's start with right from the very beginning now. Where did Andre Bronkhorst grow up? And the love for football, where did that start?
Yeah, Feroz, I grew up in a place called Bonteville, actually Athlone, and then we moved to Bonteville. And started my career with the amateur club called Blue Gum Athletics. And kicked off from there.
Now, I was doing some research, and I also read that because of your religious background as well, at some stage that you almost gave up the game. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we came from a very religious family. My mother and father were staunch in the church, and we couldn't play football. Mm. And, you know, we one Sunday, we played the semifinals, and I left my boots at the Saturday at the grounds so that I can jump out of the church window to go and play football. That was the passion for the football, and I got a hiding after that as well.
And you didn't forget that hiding?
No. That's still remembered today.
So then how did you get that chance to continue with your footballing career?
Yes, my father was a big football fan, and he said you can have a balanced life with religion and obviously your football. And still I do that today. I still am very involved in the church with the youth community. I belong to a church, New Apostolic Church, and very involved in my football on both fronts and family as well.
Were you always a goalkeeper?
Yes. I started as a right back, just one game under 12. And then the goalkeeper who played for us, he made a huge mistake. And coming to the training the Tuesday, and then I stood in goals. And my coach was a top referee. His name was Kade de Goede, refereed in the PSL. And he saw me just diving around and things like that. He said to me, "You're going to be a goalkeeper." And from there, it kicked off.
And they say the rest is history.
That's correct.
Now, you made your debut for Santos in 1988. Just the pity, it was a couple of more years before the Federation actually came to an end with unification around the corner. How did you get that chance to join the people's team?
Yes, already in 1987, at the end of the season, I started training with them. You know, there was big boys there. Even in that year, there was a keeper called Isaac Ampo. And you know the guy, Shaka Zulu, the actor,
Enrikele. Yes.
He was playing for Santos as well as a keeper. And then I thought, I'm not never going to come into this team. And I trained with the team. And then fortunately, Enrikele, he left and Ampo was still there. So I was fortunate after 2 weeks, Ghulam Ali and Nazmi Bardin, Ghulam Ali, the team manager, and Nazmi Bardin, the owner, said to me, listen, you have to join the team, and it took off from there.
Now, we're just chatting off air. Were you always a Santos fan? I mean, if you were, then it must have been a dream to play for the team you supported.
Yes. My next-door neighbor, his name was Stephen Hendricks, and he was one of the top defenders at Santos. I always used to go watch him, and I thought, I'm going to make it for this team. I'm going to play for this team one day. And yes, it came true. It happened.
Now, obviously, you know, as soon as you joined the team, success was there with Santos. They were dominating Federation. You won a few cups, I think, in your first year, and then in 90 and 91 as well. Share some of those memories with us.
Yes, 1988, the first choice keeper was Isaac Ampo, as I spoke, told you previously. After one game, he had to go for a sinus operation, and they threw me into the deep end, and I thought, I was only at 19 years at that age, I thought, oh, this is my chance, I'm gonna make it. And that year, he never got the chance back into the team, because I played all the games. We won the treble that year. The league and cup double. And yes, we didn't lose one game. I think we still have the record, if I'm correct, of conceding the least number of goals in the Federation. I'm not 100% sure, but I think we only conceded 9 that season. Yeah, it was an honor. And, then obviously 1989. Oh, there was a team called Batswood.
Yeah.
Oh, they came.
And they were new boys as well.
And they were new boys, and they were a top class amateur team. And they joined the FPL. And we thought, this is going to be easy meet. We're going to win everything. No, but they won the treble that year, and they put us, you know, they humbled us that season. Then 1990, it was the last of the FPL. We won the league and cup double. We made amends. And we made history by winning the last ever FPL title and a cup. And Batswood, they went on to go in the last cup of the season as well.
So that Santos team also had some phenomenal players. You know, we had many of the guests already in the show that played in the early 80s and stuff. But from the years that you've joined, or you played from 88, talk to us about some of those players that really shone there at Santos and really stood out.
There was a lot of players. There was, we weren't big squads then, you know, you were only allowed maybe to have like 3 subs and, or 5 players on the bench. Not like now you have 8 players or 7 players on the bench. And we were a very small squad, so I can remember almost the whole squad. But one guy that stood out to me was obviously Stephen Hendricks, that my defender that got me to Santos, helped me to get my career started there. But there's one outstanding player, Duncan Crowe. You know, everybody knows Duncan Crowe. And he was our player coach that season. He almost made it to Chelsea. We went for trials to Chelsea, and he didn't because of work permit stuff. And he was our player coach, Duncan Crowe. If you look at the back, there was Kevin Valentine, Marco Roman, Clive Duplessis, Rashad Davids, Kasim Mohamed. The midfield was very strong. Daryl Ruffles in the defense. Desmond Crowe, Duncan Crowe, Donovan Ronnie, Rodney Tace. You can go on.
Household names at the time.
Yeah, there was this top place. Sorry, guys, if I forgot one of your names, but you're still in my heart.
No, absolutely. Now, of course, you stayed with them in the initial years of NSL as well. But before we chat about that, we can't talk about the Federation without talking about those grounds you guys play at. And you mentioned a few off air as well. Share some of those memories. I mean, let's start off right here in Cape Town with Athlone. Then we can go to Curry's Fountain and the other grounds that that really, you know, stood out and you still maybe think about it now and again?
Yes, Athlone Stadium was always the home of football in Cape Town, you know, and obviously on the other side it was Hartley Vale. But we were, there was two leagues, like the NSL and obviously the NFL, the FPL. And Athlone has got a very special place in my heart. That, you know, Athlone Stadium is, I played the last game under the new lights, the old lights at Athlone Stadium, and I played the first game under the new lights at Athlone Stadium. So that was history.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's Cape Town and Curry's Fountain, Chatsworth, Berea, where Berea used to play. And, but coming to Curry's Fountain, you know, for three cup finals we played and we won all, we won two cup finals at Curry's Fountain and two at, Chatsworth. So that will always be a place in my heart. You know, you come to the stadium already with the bus. The people are queuing up and they're waving at you. And when you come to the grounds, it's packed. But let me tell you a joke about Curry's Fountain. Mm. Now, you always used to come up, we used to come up with our blazers
and
our suits, and then we go sit and then we watch the pregame.
The curtain raiser.
Yeah. And we had a funny guy there. I can't remember his name. I think it was Stephen Hendricks or whoever. Then he used to come up. He said, "Hello, Mr. Naidu." And half of the stand used to stand up and say, "Aye," you know, because half of the people's surname was Naidu.
Absolutely.
But those grounds were top. And big memories. And I tell you, we had support there. We had big
support. The Durbanites loved you guys. Yeah, I must say so myself.
Yeah, no, it was top. You used to feel like a hero there when you walked there.
No, absolutely. And then obviously post-federation, it was the dawn of the new era, unification upon us. Santos, one of the teams that moved into the then NSL, you were fortunate to go with them. Share some of those moments with us, with your couple of years that you spent with Santos in the NSL.
Yeah, first of all, I have a thought and a for Batsu who didn't make it. You know, I really thought they were also going to join us there. Yeah. And I've got a soft spot for them because they were a good team. But then they took most of the teams that were long in the league, like Rangers, Real Touch, and so on. And we were the only team that were not relegated that season.
Yeah.
And all the other teams, unfortunately, were relegated and we stayed. And yes, it was tough. We played against Kaizer Chiefs. I remember the Orlando Pirates. You know, we had some players in our team. I'll just name a few names like Kamal Said, Arashad Daniels, and young players.
Yeah.
Whenever we used to play against Kaizer Chiefs or Orlando Pirates, when we walk out of the tunnel, they will look at these guys up and they will stare at them and they look at their boots and things like that. Yeah, I'm playing against Dr. Kumalo now and I'm playing against Ace Kuzi. Yeah. And, you know, they forgot that they also players that we're going to play. Now we have to win the game.
But yeah.
It was good. And we also made a final appearance against Tata Bucks and the Coca-Cola. We had Booby and Billy Anderson as joint coaches, and we lost, unfortunately, against them 3-1 against Nigel Dixon, the Mugay brothers, Brandon Augustine. But we had most of our core of our players that came from the Federation in the team, in the squad as well.
And surely there must have been also some players that gave you a hard time as well, maybe, scored a few goals against you. Anyone that you can remember that really gave you a hard time, or a few of them?
There was a few of them, like Eugenia Gullas from Batswood, Peter Lowe. There were so many, I don't want to remember their names. rather not, but because they scored. But I also saved a lot of their goals. But there was quite a few players. I can't single anyone out, but there was quite a few strikers.
What was the rival?
Kilo Hussain,
from Rangers.
Now, that guy scored in one of the finals. He scored a cracker. Yeah. I'm still looking where the ball is still up to today, But I made amends for it. In the final against Manning Rangers, there was a guy, Peter Lowe, close range. The score was still 1-0, and I made a top save. And after that save, we scored two goals and we won the final.
Before we talk about your retirement, I just wanted to touch about the rivalry between you guys and Batsworth. You know, obviously they were late entries into the FPL. Rather sad, I thought. Maybe they would have come in a bit earlier because FPL was on the verge of closing down. What was that rivalry like between Santos and Batswood? Obviously, the matches here at the Athlone Stadium.
No, I can tell you the rivalry was very big. It was big. You know, Amateur Football Federation, they were a top amateur team coming into the... They had top players, Adib Abrams, Vincent Barnes, the cricketer, you know, Royston Liddell, Roger Waller, Links. Roger Links, they had top players. The rivalry was fierce. It was fierce. And, you know, it was like... there was no I like you, and there was no things like that. We go and play the game, and you know, after that, if we greet one another, it was a bonus, you know. But the rivalry was very, very fierce, and like I said, I'm just glad that we were the last team that ever won the FPL league title.
Now, just out of curiosity, have you kept any of those memorabilia that you won with the Santos in the Federation and the trophies and stuff like that?
You know, I've got everything. Wow. Everything. Pictures and medals, trophies, everything. Frames, photos, I framed it up. I've got everything out there.
Fantastic. A few years into the NSL, then you decided to call it quits, am I correct?
Yes, that I actually had a very bad knee injury. And, you know, the doctor told me, you're never going to kick a ball again. And it was tough for me. And then I retired. And then after the knee healed, and I played for an amateur club called Moonlighters, where we won the league as well. And then after that, I said, no, I'm going to go, I'm going to retire, until I got a call one day from Afzal Khan and Duncan Crowe and Bubi Solomon, who was joint coaches, to come and do the goalkeepers, to become a goalkeeper coach. And then my goalkeeping coaching career started, took off again.
And obviously we're going to touch a lot on that now, because when you say took off, it really did take off. I mean, when they won the league, I think in 2000, when Santos won the league, that must have been a huge highlight for you.
Yes, it was a top highlight. Just before that, the year before that, Clive Barker was the coach. We won the Bob Save. And we beat Sundowns in the final, 1-0. Andre Aronso was the goalkeeper. I coached that year. He came back from Fulham. The funniest thing about, we played at FNB Stadium, and we played the curtain raiser. We played we in the final, but we play a curtain raiser for Kaizer Chiefs and Orlando Pirates.
So the final was a curtain raiser to the Soweto Derby.
That's correct, yeah.
Wow.
But that was good also to bring the crowd in. And it was a plus for us. Actually, afterwards we realized it was a plus for us, because after we scored the goal against Sundowns, Tyron Aronson, he scored. And the whole Pirates and Chiefs fans were behind us, not supporting Sundowns. So,
of course.
So we were happy for that. That was the year before that, 2000, when we won the league. And yes, so Gordon came on board. I was still goalkeeper coach. And yeah, I was blessed to have worked with a guy like Andre Aronson. You know, the guy is so professional. You know, he works his socks off. We used to train after training, extra 15, 20 minutes before training. And you went on actually to win PSL Player of the Year, not only goalkeeper of the year, but player of the year that year. And yeah, it was an amazing experience winning the league title. And yeah, you coach a guy, you know, to win PSL Player of the Year.
Now, fantastic. We're going to touch more about your spells as the goalkeeper coach. We're just going to take a quick ad break, and we'll come back. We'll continue.
This is Inside Sports.
Assalamu alaikum. Just gone 23 minutes past 8. You're listening to Inside Sport. My guest tonight is the former Santos goalkeeper, Andre Broncos. Now, Andre, just before the break, we were talking about your some of your highlights, but we're going to touch now with your spells with the other teams that you were goalkeeper coach for. I've just got a comment or a question here from one of the listeners, Ridwan. He says, "Hi, Andre. Hope you're well. With all these great goalkeepers in Cape Town and in the area, what is your take on the goalkeepers in Cape Town in the last 5 years?"
Yeah, Cape Town used to be the cluster, the capital of the goalkeepers in South Africa. You know, Andre Aronson, Adib Abrams, Farouk Abrams, and you can go on, you know. Yes, there is some development coaches who's doing goalkeeper coaching, and but I think the talent is not as much as we had in the past. But it's something that we have to work on very hard, because there's a lot of foreign keepers coming into taking over our goalkeeper positions here in South Africa, in Cape Town as well. And this is something we really need to work with. But I'll speak to you later about something I'm busy with, and I'm happy that a guy like Farouk Abrams is also doing it. And I'm also having my own goalkeeping academy. And we want to change this, you know, so that we can bring the best, the best keepers that we used to have in the past back into the fore and into the future.
Now, you were very successful as a goalkeeper coach. We started off with Santos, then I believe you had spells with Ajax, Bloom Celtic as well. And of course, I mean, the pinnacle of it all would be with Bafana for quite a few games, including some World Cup qualifiers as well. Talk to us about some of those highlights as your career as a goalkeeper coach.
Yeah, then after we won the league at Santos, Gordon, he took me with to Ajax, where I worked with also one of the top keepers, Muneeb Josephs. There was a keeper called Calvin Marlin there, and he was number one, and he just won Player of the Year for Ajax the year before. And now, obviously, Calvin was on his way to Mamelodi Sundowns, and I was sitting with Muneeb Josephs there. What a character, what a guy to work with. You know, he's one of the characters that you can have with, because they say, goalkeepers are crazy. I think I'm also a little bit crazy. But that year, they called him Slim Cut, and Ajax were almost relegated. And this guy saved us week in, week out, week in, week out. Like sometimes we used to, I said to him, Muneeb, do me a favor. Let us, even if we lose, let us just lose 1-0. You know, not 3-0, because then the goal difference is going to be, going to count against us at the end of the season. And they called him Slim Cut that season. And he went on to win PSL Players Player of the Year that year. And then we went on, the second year with Ajax, we strengthened the team. We got 4 Congolese guys in there, Cyril Mubiala, Mukulukulai Kanku. These guys all played for the national team in Congo. And, yes, we finished second on the log that year, and it was very tough. I think, Chiefs just edged us, you know, and we qualified for the Champions League. We played against, Raja Casablanca, Al Ahly, all these top keepers, like, you know, one of the best keepers I've ever played against, I've ever seen in my life was Al Hadri from Al Ahly. This guy was top. And, fortunately, he gave me actually one of his jerseys after the game. And we qualified for the last group stages of the Africa Cup that year, in the last 4. And then things didn't work out with Gordon, and then Mushin came in. But just that one year, the first year at Ajax as well, we lost in the EPSA Cup final against Santos. Old rivals got back there. Athlone Stadium was packed. Yeah. Athlone Stadium was packed. But that final, they beat us 2-0, Santos. But it was nice to see Santos had most of the support on that field. Ajax had only one portion, and they just saw yellow and a little bit of red. And then Mushin came in to Ajax. We lost in the Telkom Cup final against Platinum Stars, but then we went on to win the EPSA Cup final, and Hans Funk was in the goals for us that time. We never conceded one goal in the EPSA Cup, and Hans Funk was voted player of the EPSA Cup. Then obviously things went on. At all these clubs, I stayed for long. I stayed like either for 5 years or 6 years or 7 years, and I stayed at Ajax for about 6 years, and before that at Santos for 7 years as a coach, goalkeeper coach, and as a player as well. And then I moved to Bloemfontein Celtic, where I started working with a team, and then I started working with this Cameroonian, Patrick Tindem, and we won the Telkom Cup, and he won PSL Goalkeeper of the Year that year. So, yeah, there was a lot of accolades where I could help. I hope and prayed I played a part, mm-hmm. and I'm, you know, in these guys. And I've got lots of respect for them, and they've got lots of respect for me. We're still in touch with one another. Andre sent me some messages, Monique, Patrick Tenem, all these guys still. And then after we won the Telkom Cup, I got a call from the national team from the that I was called up to become the goalkeeper coach. And I thought it was just like for one game. Mm. And it was for a friendly game against Senegal. Sadio Mane, he was in that team for Senegal. We drew that game 0-0. And then there was World Cup qualifiers. And Itumeleng Khune was struggling with his game just before that, that year. You know, there was a lot of problems with him off the field and on the field. And I was sitting outside his hotel room, and I said to him, he wanted to stand up. I said to him, sit down. I'm coming here to help you, you know. And he said, coach, yes, I have a little bit of difficulties at my club and in personal life and things. I said, I'm coming here to help you. And the team did well. The national team, we didn't score goals. It was a big problem with the national team. But also we didn't concede goals. And that same season, after Khune won all the accolades, he won Player of the Year, won PSL Player of the Year, Goalkeeper of the Year, everything. He gave me a call. He said, coach, can you remember that day when you were sitting down in my hotel, outside my hotel door, and you spoke to me, I will help you? That actually changed my whole life that season. And yes, I was blessed also to play against Ivory Coast with Solomon Kalou. Didier Drogba didn't make the squad, but all these top players, yeah. You know, they came down in the Nelson Mandela Challenge. Munip was in that game, played in that game, and we drew 1-1. There was a gold medal of Nelson Mandela, and there was a platinum medal. Now, because we were the host, we had to take the platinum, and I wanted to really that gold, you know. But I was grateful and thankful. Yeah. I still got the medal just to see Nelson Mandela's face on there. Yes, so I was two seasons with the national team. It was straight after the World Cup when the Brazilian coach obviously left, Carlos Pereira, and then Pitso took the team over. And I was working with Pitso for 2 years, and then obviously Steve Compella came on board as well for a couple of games. But the World Cup qualifiers, we played against, you know, teams, but we couldn't score goals, so we didn't qualify because there was too many draws. There was just draws. And unfortunately, after 2 years, say 2.5 years, I was also not with the national team anymore. New people came in. Gordon Eagerson came in and so on.
No, that's fantastic. But you mentioned Pitso, and we've seen his record now as a coach of Mamelodi Sundowns and obviously now coaching one of the biggest teams in Africa, Al Ahly. What was it like working with Pitso?
Pitso is a top coach, top man management, you know. Each and every one of us has got our responsibilities. In the national team, he will ask this guy to say his thing, and, you know, me, I will have to cover all the goalkeeping department. But he is very open with us. You know, he likes to steal ideas. And you know why Pitso is so successful in Africa? Because he loves Africa. It's like for him to go to a poor African country is like a joy. Mm. Just to see people, how they live. He will, with the national team, he'll ask him, like, can we leave like 4 days or 5 days before the time? And can you remember when Pitso won the African Cup with Sundowns? Yeah. They also went on a camp for 3 weeks to prepare that season to win the Champions League. Yeah, so Pitso was one of the top coaches I was blessed to be working with.
And obviously you mentioned some of these guys that you had the privilege of coaching and working with, Andre Arendse, Monib Joseph, Hans Fonk. Did you work with the guys like Shweb Walters as well?
Yes.
That must be special to see, you know, being from Cape Town. So a lot of these guys that you've touched their careers in a way as well, because you worked with them. It helped them, obviously, you know, international. We know Andre played in England for Oxford and for Fulham. We know Munib had a top career. Shweb Walters, Maritzburg United. I think he was also with Bafana as well, if I'm not mistaken. So it must be a special feeling. Of course, we know Hans Fonk as well. Yeah.
Yes, Shoaib Walter. Sorry, I forgot his name. When I came to, I worked with Shoaib at a very young age already. He was on trial at Santos. And then at Bloemfontein Celtic, he was there. And there was a story actually written by Rodney Reyners, 2010. Goalkeeper coach has got three of his charges at the World Cup. Mm. So it was his former charges. It was Shoaib Walters, Patrick Denham, and Mundeep Joseph at the 2010 World Cup. Yeah, so Shoaib was also one of the best keepers, the one that can drop a ball, goal, you know, in this Cape Town wind, he was topped with that.
Now, fantastic. And of course, you mentioned Rodney Reyners. It just came to my mind. He was also part of that Santos team, wasn't he?
Yeah, him and Donny on the wings was top. Donny on the one side and Rodney Reyners, Speedy Gonzalez is down the wings.
Must be also a very proud moment for you to having played a part, like I said, with all these goalkeepers. And then, of course, quitting or leaving Bafana Bafana and then starting your own academy. And now also I need to congratulate you, first of all, on being drafted into the Cape Town Spurs setup. Because Ajax now is now Cape Town Spurs, still based at Inkamva. And you are the new goalkeeper coach. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Before I go there, before I retired, I was with a team called Stellenbosch, and we won the league there and the NFD. And yes, obviously we parted ways. I still don't know why, but life goes on. That's football, and I wish them all the best still, and they're doing well in the PSL. And then I decided, I had enough now. I had enough. And I started my own academy in association with Kelser of a football club.
Andre, I'm just going to stop you there. We're just going to take a quick break for the Azan, and then we'll continue after this.
This is Inside Sports.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to Inside Sport. Just gone 10 to 9. My guest tonight is the former Santos goalkeeper, Andre Broncos. Now, Andre, we're chatting about, obviously, your academy. But before that, off air, we were talking about your strengths, which we didn't cover a little bit on earlier on. Just quickly touch a little bit about what was your strengths as a goalkeeper. I mentioned shot stopping, positioning. You said you were all-rounder.
Yes, I was actually good all-round, coming for crosses and, you know, shot stopping. But I think one of my biggest things was, that's why I instilled that in my goalkeepers today, it's when the players, the opposition, get behind our defense. There's a lot of goalkeepers that give up. No, I don't give up. They call me last man standing. Because when you're last man standing, that doesn't mean the ball is now beating all your 10 players in front of you. It's going to beat you. I stay as long as possible on my feet. I watch the ball, and I've made many, many saves like that in my career.
So an upcoming goalkeeper who might be listening, you know, for one-on-ones.
Yeah.
What... You were good at that. What would be your advice to that young goalkeeper out there?
Stay as long as possible on your feet. Don't commit to the player, because if you're going to commit to the player, you're going to go to the one side. It's going to be easy for him to place the ball. And watch, you keep your eye on the ball, and as soon as he gets an extra touch or whatever, then you go close him down. So when he looks up again, then you're on top of him, then it's going to be difficult for him to place the ball past you.
Fantastic. Now, I believe you spent a few weeks at Ajax Amsterdam, and you've got a beautiful story to tell. So please share your story with us with your few weeks at Ajax Amsterdam.
Yes. Before John Kamitis came to me one day when he was still chairman, he said to me, I was busy at the training with the juniors, and he said to me, listen, you're going to Amsterdam, you and Ian Garoa and two players, Nazir Ali and Clifford Nongobeni, for 4 weeks. You're going to learn a little bit there and see what they do there. Yeah, I was ecstatic. You know, I just want to tell you a joke. And I went to my pastor, and he announced it in front of the congregation. Listen, I wish you all the best. You're going to Amsterdam, but there's one place that you're not going to in Amsterdam. And that is the red light district. Sorry, you know. And I said, I didn't even know what was the red light district, because I'm not interested, you know. So I went to Amsterdam, and then this one Sunday morning, I was looking for a church, you know, and I couldn't find a church. So we decided to go to have breakfast. The team manager of Ajax Amsterdam, he came to fetch us. He said, listen, we're going for breakfast. And we came there, and the one coach said to me, "No, listen, he is going to this red light district." I said, "No, I'm not going. I'm sticking to my rules." And we and the manager, we went to go sit in one of the restaurants. Now, one of their favorite meals is croquette. It's like almost like a boerewors roll with some stuff on there, but that is like there. And then I was sitting in, and you know who came in there? Ruud Gullit and his wife. Now, she's the sister of Johan Cruyff. And we were sitting there. He just came to sit there, and he was chatting to me the whole time, and he just asked, "How's Mr. Mandela doing?" Because you remember when he won his award for Africa, for a European player of the year, world player of the year, he donated, obviously, to Mr. Mandela. And yes, that was one of the most best things I've ever experienced in my life. But talk about the training at the Kamfa. They call it the Kamfa here, but there it's called the Toekoms, their training ground. Like about 15 fields. Gee, was all
fantastic setup.
Fantastic setup. And, you know, the coaches there was like, we used to play after training with some of the coaches there, the junior coaches, the assistant coaches, Frank de Boer, Ronald de Boer, Aaron Winter, you know, all these, Arnold Muren that played for Manchester United, all these top, then we used to play Edgar Davids, and me and the coach was in the middle. We were there almost for when they played this rondos, you know, they call it Hershey, where they stand around and you stand in the middle. We were there in for about 10 minutes. And every time they kick the ball through your legs, now when they kick the ball through your legs, then they call it panna. That means we've scored past you, through your legs now. And then, but there's so many. There was this one guy that every time he came to watch the juniors when we sat in the canteen. Now, nobody knows this. When Ajax were on top of the years, everybody heard about Johan Cruyff, Johan Cruyff. That time when Ajax were like top. But there was this other guy that came in every day with his suit and things. And I asked this, some of the people, who is this guy? And this was the Jacques Swart. He was the other winger of that successful Ajax team. That was the highlights. But the biggest highlight I had at Amsterdam, the goalkeeper coach's name was Fred Grimm. And his wife gave birth, so we went on paternity leave. So the coach came to me said to me, "Listen, we've got a problem. We don't have," I think it was Ronald Koeman, the coach then, "we've got a problem. We don't have a goalkeeper coach, so you must take the goalkeepers." I said, "You're going to take," I went over to my hotel room, I prepared everything, and you know who was the goalkeeper that played in the final year 2010? His name was Martin Stecklenburg, and I had to coach him that lost in the final against Spain. But thank God I came through that for 3 days. You know, if you had to serve, kick a ball bad, that people, they were tough. They will call you name, "Coach, no, not like that." But I came through flying colors, and I'm grateful for that. But that is for some of the experience.
That must have been a phenomenal experience. I mean, just hearing that for a few minutes, you know, that's something that people dream of, really, you know, to get to that, and absolutely brilliant. You've got an academy. Just share a little bit about where your academy is based, number of players or possible goalkeepers that you work with on a daily basis.
Yes, I started this academy with Kells River Amateur Football Club in partnership with them because of the field usage and also to work with their boys. It started off last year, November, and then there was like, say, 30, 40. Altogether, I've got on my database about 60, but due to COVID, I couldn't train, you know, and then I started training 2, 3. A few of the boys that's got potential there, it's funny, it's their names is Arno Tando and Lou Tando.
Okay.
And there's a Daniel Denton and a few others as well, Shirley. But, you know, at the moment, there's about 60 on the database. So once everything is going to go, we will push on.
Back to some normality.
That's right.
And, of course, congratulations once again, appointed as the goalkeeper coach of Cape Town Spurs. Hopefully we'll see them back in the PSL. Have you guys started your work already?
Yes, I've started 3 weeks ago. We're very busy with our preseason. We had two friendlies against Cape Town All Stars over the weekend. Friday, we drew 1-1, and against Cape Moya, 1-1. Yeah, we've got a very young team with a few couple of experienced players, but it looks promising. And yeah, hopefully with my success that I had in the past, and hopefully I can be of benefit and to help to Cape Town Spurs as
well.
And
hopefully we'll see some more goalkeepers coming through to the hands of Andre Broncos. On that note, Mr. Broncos, thanks for chatting to me tonight, and all the best to you back home. I hope you enjoyed another edition of Inside Sport. I'll be back with more sporting news on the drive time from Monday to Friday. From Ifiro Sheikh, have a lovely evening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.